Good morning. Today's Daf and Tzvachim is Daf Hey. We are starting today on the bottom of Daf Dalam and Beis. Topic of today's continuation of the Gemara since the beginning of Masechta, and that is the topic of Shinui with Kodesh. The first Mishnah introduces to the idea that if a Kohen is shechting a carbon, he has to shecht the Lishma for the purpose of that carbon. And a change of designation, meaning if it's, let's say, for example, a carbon ola, and he changes it to a shlamim, and he articulates that he's shechting as a carbon shlamim, so now he has created a problem. When I say a problem, I mean exactly that he's disconnected the carbon from its owner. The carbon still brought as a carbon, but it no longer serves as a carbon for its owner, and the owner has to now get a new carbon. And this is a principle of Shinui Kodesh. It's also a concept, a principle of Shinui Balim, not discussed in the Mishnah, but discussed in the course of yesterday's Daf. Shinui Balim is that when the Kohen shechs the animal, he shechs the animal not for its owner, but for another person. And so he tries to change the designation of its owner, Shinui Balim. That too creates a disconnection between the carbon and its owner. We also learn back in the Mishnah that when it comes to carbon chatas and a Pesach Bizmano, so there Shinui Kodesh is going to apostle the carbon altogether. Carbon is not going to be at all good, it's going to be totally disqualified. And that's true both by carbon chatas and by carbon Pesach for reasons which, quite frankly, we haven't articulated as of yet. The Gemara has not given us the sources for those halachas, but that's coming up a little bit later on. In the course of yesterday's Gemara, what did we learn together? That Shinui Kodesh is going to be a disconnector. It'll be a problem for the carbon, for the owner of the carbon, I should say. And that would be true for any one of the four avodas. There are dalat avodas when it comes to a carbon. Shechita, kabbalas adam, holach, and zrika. So we went through yesterday. The Gemara meticulously yesterday went through each of these of the avodas and the source of each of these avodas that Shinui Kodesh will create a status change in any one of the dalat avodos. Shinui Balim as well. The Gemara also went through yesterday a series of drushas to explain that Shinui Balim also will create a problem for any one of the dalat avodos. One of the yesodas, one of the principal ideas that we learned yesterday is that Shinui Kodesh and Shinui Balim, although very similar ideas, have one outstanding difference. This difference is articulated by Rashi on the bottom of Dalam Ad Aleph. Tosfos already taught us this back on Dav Beis Ad Aleph. First Tosfos in the Masechta. And that is that when it comes to Shinui Kodesh, if a Kohen has a change of designation during any one of the Dalat Avodos, so that will change the status of the carbon. That will create a problem with the carbon. However, when it comes to Shinui Balim, when it comes to a change of the owners, that only is going to be a problem for Zrika, for the sprinkling of the blood. And as we learned yesterday, Rashi clearly articulated this yesterday on the bottom of Dalam Ad Aleph, meaning that you can have a machshava of Shinui Balim by any one of the Dalat Avodos, but the Shinui Balim has to be specifically about the Zrika. So Rashi said yesterday as an example, let's say when the Kohen shechts the animal, while shechting the animal, he articulates and he says, I'm going to be sprinkling the blood of such animal for somebody else. That's Shinui Balim. However, Rashi pointed out yesterday, Shinui Balim will not present a problem if it's about the actual Shechita. Meaning if while the Kohen shechts it, he says, I'm shechting on behalf of so-and-so, someone other than the owner of the carbon, that does not represent Shinui Balim. Shinui Balim is only going to be significant if while doing one of the avodas, the Kohen articulates and thinks and articulates about the Zrika being done on behalf of somebody else. Why should that be? So as we pointed out yesterday, and we also said this on Daf Beis as well, presumably because Zrika, I'm sorry, when it comes to the owner, as far as the owner is concerned, what does he want? He wants a kapara. When is the kapara achieved? The kapara is achieved during Zrika. So therefore, when it comes to Shinui Balim, that only will create a status change of the carbon only when Zrika comes into play. Okay, that's so everything that we spoke at yesterday in summary form. Where we are in the Gemara right now is we find ourselves on the bottom of Dalam Ad Beis and picking it up right where we left off from yesterday. We have now established that Shinui Kodesh and Shinui Balim, so there's a Lishma requirement. Ema, let us suggest the following. The Gemara just simply transitions into the next question. Ema, Eich D'Shachlu Shalol Lishma Lifsalu. So the Gemara says, so, now that we've established that, there has to be a Lishma, which means that there cannot be neither Shinui Kodesh nor Shinui Balim when it comes to carbon. So the Gemara now just simply advances a really simple question. Why is there this middle ground? Meaning, why don't we just simply say that if you shecht an animal, shalol lishma, either with Shinui Kodesh or with Shinui Balim, why don't we just simply say that the carbon's pasul? Meaning, where do we exist right now? We exist in this very strange spot where if there's Shinu Kodesh or if there's Shinu Baalim, carbon's still a good carbon, it's just not going to be connected to its owner anymore. Its owner no longer achieves the Ekapara through this carbon. That's a funny place to be. Why not just simply say that if there's Shinu Kodesh or there's Shinu Baalim, the carbon is puzzle, done, end of story. So I'm across, so the Gemara says, yeah, you're right, but we have a drasha. And the drasha reads, Moses, Fasecha, Tishmor, Vasitzaka, Shin, Adarta, Hain, Adava, Nedahu. And again, we've gone through this before. We're going to hear it again. We're going to hear it again later as well. So again, the Pasuk in Kiseitse tells us that it's a neder. And meanwhile, right, Vasisa Kasher, Moses Vasecha Tishmor, Vasisa Kasher Nadarta, and you're going to do what you were noder. And then the Torah transitions to describing it as a nedava. Which one is it? It's a neder and a dava. Elaim Kamash Nadarta Siti He Neder, Vim Lavi He Nadava. If you did it properly, if you did it correctly, it's a neder. Meaning it satisfies your obligation. If you didn't do it correctly, so then it's a nedava. Meaning it is still a carbon, just not for you. So the itzrich Moses Vasecha, the itzrich Zosa Torah. So the Gemara says, so if you take everything that we learned together, and really we have to go back to yesterday's daf. But in other words, yesterday's daf, what was the conclusion? How do we know about this idea of Shinui Kodesh? How do we know about this idea of Shinui Baalim? So when all was said and done, at the end of yesterday's daf, the Gemara learned it out from the words Vizos, Vizos HaTorah. And then the Torah goes on to list all the karbanos. Just like Shinui Kodesh is going to apply to one of them, meaning we learned it out through Shlamim, so too it's going to apply to all the karbanos as well. And we learned this through the Hekesh of Zos HaTorah. We also just learned together that it's really also based on the pasuk of Moses Fasecha. If you did it correctly, neder, you fulfilled your obligation. And if you have done it incorrectly, nedava, it's still a good carbon, but not for you. So the Gemara says, and I need both of them? And the Gemara says, you absolutely need both of them. If all I had was the pasuk of Moses Fasecha, lo yadam am I. Here's what I would not know. I simply would not know, meaning the pasuk tells me if I do it correctly, good, neder. And if I do it incorrectly, well, it's nedava. Well, what does incorrectly mean over there? Meaning there's simply not enough information in the pasuk of Moses Fasecha to tell me what incorrect is. What is the definition of incorrect? Look at the very top Rashi. Kama rechman Moses Fasecha tishma dahaluk siv beheja b'haikra avodas l'shman. It doesn't say specifically by the pasuk of Moses Fasecha that we're talking about l'shma, na l'shma, v'dam ala v'shma mishleikra. It could very well be that we're not, that the pasuk is not talking about l'shma. So therefore, kasa rechman zos haTorah l'meilav mishlamim de mefarshibu l'shman. As we established in yesterday's daf, by shlamim the Torah articulates that it has to be l'shma. So once we've articulated the l'shma requirement by a carbon shlamim, now we know at least what the topic of discussion is. So that is why we need the pasuk of Zos HaTorah. Because of Rechman of Zos HaTorah, we're back to the Gemara 1, the second line down. And if the Torah would have just simply said Zos HaTorah, meaning the Hekesh, Havamina Lifsalu. So I would have thought, okay, you know what the Hekesh tells us? That there is not only a Lishma requirement, but if you don't do Lishma, failure to do Lishma results in a psul, results in disqualification. Therefore, Kasa Rechmana, Moses Fasecha. And that's why the Torah says, Moses Fasecha, to teach me that even though you failed on the Lishma, but you don't get an F, you get a, you know, hard for me to give it a grade. C, D, okay, maybe a C, but, okay, let's be generous. In other words, but it's not a psul, it's not a disqualification. Meaning, what is it going to be? It'll still be a good carbon, just not for you. Okay, and that's why, so I need the blend of the two psukim, the two drashas. I need the hekesh, and I need also the pasuk of Moses Fasecha. Okay, and now we begin, we're on the top of Hamad Beis. We begin a discussion which, quite frankly, is going to seem very similar to that which we had. It'll just come at it from a different angle. Rami Reish Lakish asked the following question. Al-Mahoi, now, Al-Mahoi is a strange expression of the Gemara. It's not usual. Rashi over here says, Shochev al-Bitno, Panav Kalpe Karka. He's lying down on his stomach. Yes, it's unusual. The Gemara gives us such a detail. My Rebbe from Yeshiva University, so he needs a real refuah. But I remember back, he always struggled with his health. So back in YU, so at one point in time his back went out on him. So I remember so clearly that he used to give shir while lying down on his back. So it was very strange. In other words, you don't normally see a Rebbe in such a position, but you sit in the shir and you get used to it. After a while, it seems normal. So anyway, but he was suffering and he still said shir. It really was most nefesh to say shir. Parenthetically, by the way, it was Reb Braunschweigel. It is Reb Braunschweigel. So anyway, so the Braunschweigel. He's a survivor. He's a Holocaust survivor. So the Gemara says Rami Reish Lakish or Reish Lakish Alma Hoi. So he was lying down in his stomach. Be Midrash Umachshin, and we asked the following question: Im Ksherim Heim Yirtzu V'Im Ein Meratz Dem Lama Bayim. So basically, Reish Lakish articulates the question that we've been grappling with, and that is: well, where are we right now? We're in this funny place. We're in the middle between the carbon being good and not being good. And basically, the way he articulates the question is: Im Ksherim Heim. Look, if the carbon's a good carbon, Yei Ratzu. So it should provide a kapara, a ritzui for its owner. You're bringing the carbon, correct? Meaning, make sure we all understand. We're talking about where you didn't do lishma. The Kohen, when offering the carbon, didn't do lishma. He had shinui kodesh. He had another carbon in mind while doing any one of the dala avodos. Okay, and now we know the conclusion. The conclusion is the carbon is still brought, but it doesn't provide a kapara for its owner. So Reish Lakish says, I don't get it. If we're bringing the kapara, so yei ratzu, so it should provide a ritzu for its owner. V'im ein meratzim, and if it doesn't provide a ritzu for the owner, lama bayim, so then why do you bring it? I mean, what's the whole point of bringing a carbon? The whole point of bringing a carbon is the person wants to bring this carbon so that it will achieve either kapara or a closer relationship between him and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And where does this exist now where, okay, we'll bring the carbon, but no good for you. Well, what do you mean? That's why I brought the carbon. And if you're telling me it's not good for me, so then why are we bringing it? And this limbo state right now that we exist in, so Reish Lakish is struggling to understand I'd like to say, how do we understand this? But as you know, the Gemara, even in its attempt to understand this, the Gemara is going to speak about it from a drasha standpoint. Meaning that's the foundation of their understanding, meaning where does the pasuk seem to indicate this? So now, and Rashi points out over here, didn't we just learn the pasuk of Moses Fasecha, and don't we keep repeating the drasha of Moses Fasecha? So Rashi points out over here, when Reish Lakish was having this discussion in the Beis Medrash, so we haven't yet discovered, so to say, Moses Fasecha. And that comment of Rashi will be very clear as we go through the sugya. So Amalo Rebbe Lazar, so Rebbe Lazar now turns to Reish Lakish and says, So Rebbe Lazar says to Reish Lakish, is this concept so strange to you? It's such a foreign concept where a carbon is going to be brought even though it's not providing any kind of kapar for anybody? So Rebbe Lazar says, why don't we consider a carbonola? We don't know yet, so we're talking about a carbonola. We'll learn that in just a moment. But why don't we talk about a carbon where, let's say the owner of the carbon dies, and we know by carbon chatas he can't bring it. But by all the other carbonas, you're going to bring it, even though the person died. So here we have a scenario where the carbon's being brought, even though its owner is not achieving a kapara. So Rav Elazar says, the concept is so strange. Did not, and the Gemara here quotes the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Kinnam reads, Aisha Sheivia Chatas Umesa. So let's say we have a woman now, as we're learning in this week's Parsha, in this week's Sedra, at least here in America. So Tazria, that when a woman gives birth, so she brings kabanos. She brings a pair of birds. One bird is going to be brought as a chatas, the other bird is going to be brought as an ola. Now, the truth of the matter is, Tosfos already sensitive to this issue over here, meaning we pretty much know what the order should be. It should first be the chatas, then it should be the ola. In fact, the Gemara told us earlier, it's also Gemara in Pesachim as well, that's always true. Meaning when there is a chatas and ola combination needs to be brought, first you bring the chatas and then you bring the ola. So truth be told is that really there is an order that should be followed, and it's a little bit strange over here that the Mishnah is contemplating, well, what if she brought the chatas and then died? What if she brought the ola and then died? Well, what do you mean she brought the ola by itself and then died? Shouldn't the chatas come before the ola? So please see Tosos, where Tosos, Divra Maschal, Olasa, where he grapples with this, where he deals with this. But anyway, we're learning a Mishnah together. Haisha Sheivi Chatas Omeisa. So let's say the woman brought a carbon chatas, one of the two birds, but then she dies. Yavil Yorshin Olasa. So her next of kin are going to be bringing her carbonola. And Olasa Omeisa Lo Yavil Yorshin Chatas. But however, if the opposite were true, she brought a carbonola, but she hasn't yet brought a carbon chatas, and Rachmanas, she dies before having brought a carbon chatas, so you don't bring the carbon chatas. And why? Because this is a classic example of chatas shemesu ba'alah. where you have a carbon chatas where its owner died, you don't bring the carbon chatas. Fine. But the carbon ola you would bring. So, what Rav Elazar is saying to Reish Lakish is, it's not such a foreign concept that we're bringing a carbon even though it's not providing a kapara for someone. This woman's dead. She doesn't need a kapara. And yet her carbon that she set aside is going to be brought. So you, Reish Lakish, are so bothered by this limbo status of bringing a carbon even though it's not achieving a kapara. Here's a good example. Well, I say the word kapara, maybe... Okay, ritzui. So I'll tell you what. I'll take out the word... Your point is very fair. I'll take out the word kapara and I'll put in the word ritzui. Meaning it does something, it accomplishes something for the owner. The owner wants to bring the carbon. Even by shlamim, if it's a neder, he has to bring a carbon. Meaning that carbon now is his obligation. So it does something for him. Okay, you're right. Kapara may not be the best way to say it, but it does something. It provides some sort of ritzui. So
in this case, the corpse still have an attachment to somebody.
But in the Mishnah and Kinnim that we just learned together, she's dead. So she no longer needs the carbon. In other words, it's not for her. She's dead. The Gemara is working with a tenet that a carbon is only has some sort of effective value for someone who's alive. Once a person says it, he no longer needs it. In this case, she no longer needs it. So Amalei Modil Lachbala Dasi Lachemisa Asham Delo Asi Lachemisa Minalan. So Reish Lakish says to Rav Elazar, your point is good, and I agree with your point. But your point will not explain every type of carbon. By a carbonola, you're right. A carbonola can be brought after death. But what about a carbon asham? Now we know that a carbon asham, according to our Mishnah, falls under the same category as an ola, as a shlamim, meaning there's a lishma requirement, and if you don't satisfy the requirement of lishma, you're still going to bring it. It's just not going to, it's not going to be good for its owner. But what bothers Reish Lakish is you don't bring a carbon asham after the person's dead. So Amalei Hare Machlukasach Besido. Rabbi Elazar Amar Afa Asham. So Rabbi Elazar, let's get this straight. Rabbi Elazar the Amora says to Reish Lakish the Amora, oh, your point? Oh, look back at our Mishnah. We have Rabbi Eliezer the Tana. You have Rabbi Eliezer back in the Mishnah. Oh, he's with you. So, and meaning, because remember, Rabbi Elazar in the Mishnah says that if there's Shinui Kodesh by an Asham, it has the same effect as that if there were Shinui Kodesh by Chatas. Meaning, according to Rabbi Eliezer the Tana, Asham and Chatas are one and the same, and have the same halacha when it comes to Shinui Kodesh. Amor. So Amar, Zeu Shomer Malav Adam Gadohu Kamina Ana Mishnah Shlema V'Atamar Lila Rabbi Elazar. And Reish Lakish is bothered by the suggestion that was given to him by the Amora Rebbe Elazar. Look, they call you an Adam Gadol, they call you a great man. I don't get it. Meaning, I have a question, my question's very good. By Karban Asham, you don't bring a Karban Asham after the person's dead. And meanwhile, Karban Asham can exist in this limbo plane of, well, the Karban Asham is still going to be brought, even though it doesn't serve as a kapar for its owner. And you're giving me the sheet of Rebbe Eliezer on the Mishnah? Meaning Rabbi Elazar in the Mishnah is a das yachid. It's a singular position. It's not the accepted halacha. So don't answer me by citing the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Elam Reish Lakish, aftachni pith, ana, pischa, lenafshai. So Reish Lakish says, look, in other words, I ask my question. I turn to you for answers. You don't give me an acceptable answer. Reish Lakish says, I'll give my own answer. Motzei tzvasecha, ha'nedav v'nedohu v'chulei k'dilel. And what is Reish Lakish's answer? Motzei tzvasecha. Meaning he now understands that the pasuk that we cite already a number of times, that first describes the carbon as being a neder, then describes the carbon as being an adava. How can a carbon be both a neder and a adava? That makes no sense. A neder, something I'm obligated. Something that is a lie. Nedava, something that is, but in other words, it's not my obligation, it's just a carbon. How can a carbon both be a neder and a dove? And the answer is very simple. If brought correctly, neder. If brought incorrectly, nedava. So in other words, the pasuk is teaching us this principle that you can have a carbon, even though it is detached from its owner, it still can operate as a carbon independent of its owner. Yosef Rabbi Zev Rav Yitzchak Bar Abba V'Yosef Abai Gabai V'Yosef Kamer Kashkele L'Reish Lakish. And the Gemara now is reviewing once again the question of Reish Lakish, and specifically by Karban Asham. Asham Delo Asile Demisa. I'm sorry, Delo Asile Achemisa V'Nesel Le'Tamuda Mitzvah Svasecha. Basically, they just chazed everything we went over. How, right, Reish Lakish's question, how do we have this existence of being in this unusual middle ground of a carbon, no longer connected to its owner, but still being brought even by carbon asham. And he quotes the pasuk of Motzei Tzvasecha. Good. Ema hababa nedav nedava laisi v'lo lirso. Asham lo laisi klal. So, and why not give the following answer? And the answer should be, meaning these are the later Amoraim, basically reviewing the question of Reish Lakish, and wondering to themselves, why not give the following answer? Anything that could be brought as a neder nedava, like a carbon shlamim, like an ola, good. So then we'll have neder nedava. If brought correctly, neder. If brought incorrectly, with a shinui kodesh, nedava. And why don't we just simply say that by carbon asham, the carbon asham is not brought. Meaning, let the question and the answer actually affect the halacha. Why not simply suggest that since by carbon asham, there's no concept of neder and nedava by carbon asham, a carbon asham is only brought out of obligation, and why don't we just simply say that in the case of a carbon asham, where there's shinui kodesh, it's not brought at all. So amalu abayi reish lakish me'acha pasach, v'shachar osal l'chatas, osal l'shma k'sherim, shalosh ma p'sula, ha'ashar kashim shalosh ma k'sherim. So these Amoraim point out, well, here's what really is what's guiding Reish Lakish. And that is specifically the idea of that when the Torah describes the carbon chatas, and specifically it's talking about the chatas of the Nasi, but this would be true by any of the chatas. The Torah says, v'shachat osa l'chatas. And the osa is a miut, meaning that only in the case whereby a carbon chatas, if you do it, lishma, check. If you do it, shalol lishma, X. And over here by X we mean F. We mean it's not good, it's disqualified. But that's specific to the carbon chatas. So, but by any other carbon, it's not a puzzle. In other words, it's just a disconnection. Hashar kashim shalosh man ksherim. The carbon itself would still remain kasher. Yachol ye ratzu. Well, if it's good, doesn't it provide ritzui? Tamalama motzei svastecha. So then we jump back to motzei svastecha. So the ema habab nedav nedav alaisi v'lalirtzu. Asham irtzui enami lirtzu. So the Gemara says, well, why don't now we just move to the other direction? Meaning, why don't we now suggest that when it comes to shlamim and ola, things that could be brought as a neder or a nedava? So why don't we say, like we've been saying throughout, if lishma, then good. If shalol lishma, disconnection. But maybe when it comes to the carbon asham, maybe we know it can't be disqualified because disqualification is only for the carbon chatas. So we know it's not disqualification. Why don't we then go in the other direction? Why don't we say that for a carbon asham, even shalol l'shma, it should provide ritzui? I'm Rabbi Asham Demarafei Lamatzis Amart Kavachomer Meola. So to that Abaye says that is simply an untenable position. You cannot say that if there was no l'shma, it should be maratza by carbon asham. It's simply untenable. And the Gemara says, look, let's work our minds, let's work our logic. The Gemara says, let's make a kavachomer from a carbon ola. Ma ola she'enu mechaperes, enu miratze. Now when it comes to carbon ola, it's not providing kapara, it's not achieving atonement. And meanwhile, if there was a shalol lishma kavana, so it doesn't provide ritzui, asham she'mechaper, enu din she'enu miratze, asham, which is there to provide kapara. So can't you easily now argue that if there was a shalol lishma, so it should not provide the proper kapara? So mala ola shekein kalo, the Gemara says, yeah, but you're learning from carbonola. There's a chomer by carbonola, meaning whenever you make a kavachomer, you have to start from an easier halacha and work its way to a more chomer setting. But over here, if we're starting with carbonola is totally burnt. How can I learn a halacha from a carbonola? So shlamim yochichu, so the Gemara says, well, okay, so I want to learn it from carbonola, learn from shlamim. Mala shlamim shekein te'unim nesachim utenufa chazef ashok. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you have halacha specific to the shlamim that you don't have by the carbon asham. Nesachim, I'm sorry, shlamim has nesachim, has the libations. Shlamim also has tenufa chazef ashok, the waving of the various parts of the carbon that the kohen and the owner are going to be lifting up and down, right and left, and we'll talk about the tenufa in more detail later in the Masechta. But meanwhile, those are special halachas of the shlamim that you don't have by the carbon asham, but you don't have by the carbon asham. So the Gemara says, okay, so we can't create a binyanah from Ola. We can't create a binyanah from Shlamim. So what the Gemara is going to do, as it classically does, is, how about binyanah mishnei ksuvim? How about creating a mamatzinu, a tzad hashava, a common denominator? So the Ol and the Shlamim combine, what do we know about the common denominator between the two? That if I shecht the Shalol Lishma or do any one of the Avodah Shalol Lishma, so then the carbon is still going to be brought, but it will not be connected to its owner. So we'll say the same thing by the carbon Asham. And even though there's a Chumrah by Ola, that's true. And even though there's a Chumrah by Shlamim, that also is true. But I'm not using each one in of themselves. I'm using the Mematzinu, the common denominator between the two. So the Gemara says, Mala Sada Sheva Shabem Sheken Yeshna B'tzibur. So the Gemara says, even if I use a common denominator, it's still not going to work. Because there's something unique, even to Ola and Shlamim, that you don't have by Karban Asham. Notably, Tzibur. Meaning, a Karban Ola is brought as a Karban Tzibur. A shlamim is brought as carbon seabor. And again, the example that we keep giving time and again, because there aren't that many of them. In fact, there's only one of them. What is a shlamim carbon seabor? Kivseat seres. The kvasim that are brought on Shavuos. That is a shlamim and it's a carbon seabor. So you have now, you do in fact have a shlamim that can be brought as a carbon seabor and an ola that can be brought as a carbon seabor. Carbon asham is always a carbon yachid. It's never a carbon seabor. So the Gemara says, so now, even with our Mematzina, we're stuck. So Toda Tochich, so the Gemara says, okay, let's introduce now a carbon Toda. Now, we learned in yesterday's Daf. A Toda is really a subcategory of a Shlamim, but still, it's its own separate category. So Mala Toda, Shekein Tuna Lechem. So the Gemara says, yeah, you're going to learn from carbon Toda. There are the loaves requirement by the carbon Toda, 40 loaves of bread, a combination of matzah and chametz that are brought together with the carbon todah. So the Gemara says, so that teaches us that by a carbon todah, it's unusual, it's unique, it has a chumrah. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, okay, so we're not learning out from carbon Toda by itself. We're taking carbon Toda, we're coupling it, we're hitching it to the Ola and the Shlamim, and we're using a Mematzino from all three of them. And again, now we're going to take all three of them, and the Mematzino and the common denominator is that when offering a carbon from any one of these, and there was a Shlo Lishma, it creates detachment. Same thing is going to be true with the carbon Asham. Mala Tarashavashabem Shein Baim Benedav Nadava. So the Gemara says, okay, but I'm still struggling because when it comes to any one of these carbons that we just listed, Ola, Shlamim, and even carbon Toda, they can come as voluntary offerings. When it comes to a carbon asham, nothing doing. Carbon asham is a carbon yachid, as we already established on the bottom of the previous amud, and carbon asham only comes as a chova, only comes as an obligation. It does not come voluntarily. It cannot come voluntarily. So again, carbon asham is really unique in this regard. So I can't learn from those. So the yeah.
Asham is basically a subcategory of
Prata,
so it's got to have all the restrictions.
Rabbi Eliezer does argue that. Right, it's providing a... Agreed. So you, like the Gemara said earlier this morning, so you have a friend. Okay, and a good one. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer holds like you. Now, why the Chachamim argue with Rabbi Eliezer? I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to articulate that, but that... I'm going to be honest, I don't remember. I mean, hopefully it'll come up. Hopefully the Gemara is going to discuss some more, but you're right. So the Gemara says, okay, so we can learn out through a Mematzino. So Ela Ama Rava, so back to the Gemara now. So Rav explains, Zos HaTorah, Hikshu HaKasal L'Shlamim, HaShlamim Shein Kashim V'Shachtim Shal HaShlamim K'shirim, V'Emratzim Afani Avi, Asham Shu Kodesh. So the Gemara says, Hekesh. And in other words, and remember, when we're learning out through a Kavachomer and a Binyanav and a Mematzino, so these are arguments that the Gemara is constructing. So you make arguments, you can build an argument, you can also break down an argument. But if it's a Hekesh, Ein Meshivan Ala Hekesh, you don't ask questions on a Hekesh. Once the Torah puts something together categorically in the same Hekesh, so therefore, the Hekesh is going to teach us that by an Ola and a Shlamim, so if there wasn't Lishma, the carbon is still good, but now no longer providing a ritzui for its owner. Same thing is going to be true by an asham.
So the Gemara says, okay, but if there's a hekesh,
So you look in that pasuk where it lists all the karbanos, and guess what? Not only is there Ola there, not only is there Shlamim there, not only is an Asham there, but the Chatzis is there as well. So if Hekesh is the answer, is the end, final answer of the Gemara, where how do I know that by Karban Asham Shalol Shema, it's brought but no longer serves as a Kapara because of the Hekesh, well, in that very same Hekesh you also have Karban Chatzis. Why don't we say the same thing by Karban Chatzis? Let me articulate the Gemara's question even better. We know what the Halach is regarding Karban Chatzis. Shalol Shema apostles it. Why don't we create a hekesh now between Asham and Chatas? So the Gemara says, Hamir Rachmanosa. And the Gemara's answer is because we know that Chatas is the exception. When the Torah uses and describes the word Chatas, the Torah says the word Osa, Chatas is exceptional. So even though, it's really interesting, Chatas is in the hekesh, so therefore it is grouped with the others. Yeah, but we know it's unique, because the Torah describes it as Osa. So the hekesh will allow us to conclude what the halacha would be regarding a Karban Asham. But at the same time, even though Chatas is also in the very same Hekesh, but we know it's exceptional. We're on Hey Amud Beis. We are right after the parentheses with the Simanim. It's about a third of the way down. First we're on the line after the parentheses. Yosef Rav Huna Rav Nachman V'Yosef Rav Sheshes Gabay V'Yosef V'Kamri. Kashele L'Reish Lakish. Like I said in the beginning of Shir today. Everything is really revolving around Reish Lakish's question today. Reish Lakish's question is, what is this limbo? I have a carbon, I'll still bring the carbon, but disconnected from its owner. It's either all or nothing. That was the question. Good or no good? And again, we know what the answer Reish Lakish is. Motzei Tzvasecha. Meaning the Torah introduces us to this idea that I can have a carbon, albeit no owner for the carbon anymore, totally detached, but still the carbon can be brought as a carbon. That's the answer. But we're going over his question. And again, his question was really more focused on than any other carbon, the carbon Asham. Because by an Ola, by Shlamim, I can entertain the idea that a carbon can exist independent of an owner. But by an Asham, the whole purpose of the carbon Asham is to provide a kapara for somebody. And so Reish Lakish is bothered by, how do we even employ this idea regarding carbon Asham? So as we just got done finishing in the Gemara, the answer is Hekesh. And Hekesh is not an explanation, it's just simply a reality. When I have a grouping in the Torah, when I have a connection in the Torah between one and the other, two ideas written in the same pasuk, Hekesh. Okay? But the Gemara says, now going over the question of Reish Lakish, Asham delo asil acha misa. So the Gemara says, Lema le Rebbe Lazar Asham nami asil acha misa. Now, in the question, when Reish Lakish turned to Rebbe Lazar and asked him his question, so Rebbe Lazar says, yeah, but what about carbon acha misa? And Reish Lakish's answer was, Asham doesn't come after misa. And now these later Amorim want to know, well, is that true? You mean to tell me that Asham doesn't come out post-mortem? And Asham Nami Asil Achamisa, can't a carbon Asham come also post-mortem? Where do we find a carbon Asham coming after its owner has died? Take a look at the Rashi towards the top of the Amud, Rashi, third line down. So Rashi writes, Asham Shemesa Ba'alav Roa V'damav Noflim L'Ketzim Mizbeach. Because here's what happens with a carbon Asham where it no longer has an owner. Owner of a carbon Asham dies, so you let the animal graze, develop a blemish. Now what you can do is you can redeem the animal with that redemption, meaning you're selling it off to somebody. Now with that money that you have gained from its sale, that money now is going to be deposited in a pushka in the Beis HaMikdash, which is going to then be applied for what is called Ketz HaMizbeach. And that is that in the slow season in the Beis HaMikdash, they're going to draw from this pushka, they're going to buy karbanos and going to go on to the Mizbeach, so that in addition to the Tamei Shel Shach and the Tamei Shel Bein Arbayim, there will also additionally be other karbanos as well. Ola, karban ola.
So that's
absolutely correct. So the Gemara says, so, but at least conceptually, don't we have it? So Lemele Reb Lazar Hashem Nami Asal Achamisa Amlu Rav Sheshes Hashem Lamai Krav Lamosaro. So Rav Sheshes goes on to explain this would not have satisfied Reish Lakish, and I'll explain to you why. Because what is it being brought as? It's not being brought as a carbon asham. It's being brought as a carbon ola. And this is not exactly the same as saying, well, you can bring it after the person's dead. It's not really bringing this carbon after the person's dead. It's just simply, the Gemara's terminology of Mosro means like surplus. Meaning, but this is not really the original carbon being brought. Chatas nami makiv kareva mosaros chatas. The Gemara says, if we're talking about surplus, do you know we say the same thing regarding a chatas? That surplus chatas is going to be brought. What do I mean? Well, Rashi here explains. Let's say a person, nervous individual, is obligated to bring a carbon chatos, but basically, because of his nerves and because of his anxiety, so he goes to the Beis HaMikdash and he designates two animals to be brought. Now, you don't need two animals. He only needs one. In fact, we'll say it even better. He can't bring two animals, meaning he can only bring one to satisfy his obligation. Why? So basically what he's saying is, look, this one over here, this is the just-in-case animal. Okay? So in other words, I'll set aside this animal, and this is the just-in-case animal. But in other words, from the very get-go, and what's the halacha? Rashi over here reminds us, the halacha is that the animal that he brings will provide for him his kapara. And what about the second animal? Second animal is not assigned for death. It's not a chatas shemesa. It's not one of the chatas shemesa. This is what's called surplus of the chatas, and this can be used as the carbonola. Rashi over here says. So Rashi points out that in such a scenario, the surplus chatas will just simply be assigned to graze, then develop a blemish, then be sold, and its proceeds will go to the Ketz HaMizbech, just like we did by the Karban Asha. So if that's true, so now, what's the difference between a chatas and asham? And don't tell me, and this is why Reish Lakish wouldn't have been happy with this answer. And don't tell me, well, when it comes to the asham, it can be brought after death. No, that's mosaris, that's surplus. By chatas, you have the same exact concept as well as surplus. Avagav de Karva, I'm back to the Gemara. Avagav de Karva, mosaris, mi rechmanahu, asham nami, ksiv be hu. And yet, when it comes to the carbon chatas, and we do have this concept of surplus, but meanwhile, shino ekodesh by a carbon chatas results in disqualification. So again, I know the Gemara is a little repetitive today, but why don't we say the carbon ashram as well? The shino ekodesh by a carbon ashram should result in disqualification. And the Gemara says, and we have the word who mentioned by carbon chatas, and we also have the word who mentioned by carbon ashram as well. Answers the Gemara, who la'achar akhtar simurim, who dichsiv. So the Gemara says, no, the word who by carbon asham is not said regarding the carbon itself, but that's only regarding the burning of the limbs. Meaning that the Torah does describe the carbon and use the terminology of who, but only as it relates to not the actual asham, but after you shech the asham and you're bringing the evarim up onto the mizbeach, there the word who is employed. Right? Ve'ikira mizbeach ishel asham asham who. Then and only then is it referred to as who. Ki detanya ava asham lo nemar ba hu, ela la'achar haktaris imurim. Vu'atzmo im lo ikira imurim kasher. And the Gemara reminds us, and I know we've went over this point before, that when it comes to the haktaris imurim, it's important, but it's not providing the kapara. What's providing the kapara to its owner? Zvika Saddam, sprinkling of the blood. Velahu lamali. So the Gemara says, if that's true, then what is the word who coming to teach us as it relates to carbon asham? Explain to Gemara. Lichid ravuna amrav, da amravuna amrav, asham, shenitak liraaya, vishach tostam kasher. So it comes to teach us that if I have a carbon asham and it's assigned to being grazed, then in the event that it's assigned to being grazed, and really what should happen is, you should wait and let it develop a blemish and sell it and the et cetera, et cetera. But once it's assigned to being grazed and then someone shechs it with no kavana, it would be kasher. Kasher as what? Meaning it's only not a carbon asham. What it would be kasher as is a carbon ola. Nitak in, lo nitak lo. Only when it's assigned to being grazed, but if it's not being assigned to being grazed, it's not going to be good. Time up. Amakuro, hu behav yaso yehe. And the reason why is because the Torah says the word who means be'av yasu yehe, it will be in this state. Meaning it will continue to be in the state of a carbon asham until it's assigned to being grazed. Now, exactly this idea of assigned to being grazed, what does that mean more specifically? I'll tell you the truth. I'm not totally sure. I'll show you a couple of Rashis. Rashi nitak in, Rashi writes over here, de'me'aker shem asham minei. That you have uprooted the name asham from it, and Rashi then goes on to write, and I underline this part of Rashi, Mishin Nimsar Laroa. Once you hand it over to the shepherd. Sounds like from Rashi that the point of Nitak is when it's handed over to the shepherd. The kam stam la ola lo nitak lo havi stam la ola damakra asham hu bi aviasi yehe. That Rashi seems to indicate that the significant moment is when it's handed over to the roa. If I back you up just a couple of Rashis earlier, shenitak laraya, Rashi over here sounds a little bit different. I'll read the Rashi. Shenitak laraya, shemeisa ba'alav ashneskapro be'acher. Rashi describes where the owner died or the owner retrieved the kapara through another animal, meaning he lost this one and he replaced it. Vinitak midin asham laraya, sha'amru lo beizdin hotziu v'yira. This Rashi seems to indicate beizdin then tells him, well, since you're no longer going to be using this carbon as an asham, so now they instruct him to give it over to the shepherd. Sounds like from Rashi over here that Nitak is the point where Basin gives the instruction, well, it can't be brought as an asham anymore. So I didn't see anyone discuss this, but from the two Rashis, I'm a little confused in terms of what exactly the point of Nitak is. Meaning, when is the point of Nitak? Right, one Rashi says Amru lo Beis Din, another Rashi says Nimsu lo Roa, but in any event, in either case, the idea is that when it says the word Hu by Karban Asham, meaning that yes, an Asham is somewhat flexible, and yes, an Asham once no longer needed can be turned over into a Karban Ola, but that's only at the point of Nitak. Fine. Yasir Rav Nachman, one more piece of Gemara for today. Yasir Rav Nachman, Rav Sheshif, Yasir Rav Adar, Bamasa Gabai, Vyasir Kamri, Hai de Kamri, Rav Elazar, Matsina Bebaim Lachamisa, Shen Ksherin, Veimaratzim, Lemele Reish Lakish, Hanunami, Leisiv Elirza. One more time, we're going over the dialogue between Reish Lakish and Rav Elazar. It is really the platform for the entire daf today. And the Gemara now wonders, you know, Reish Lakish says, well, you don't bring a carbon after the person dies. And Rav Elazar says,
a woman you talk.
And right, and Rav Elazar says, what do you mean? You don't bring a carbon after a person dies. Sure you do. And why doesn't Reish Lakish respond, Lema le Reish Lakish hanu nami leisu velirso. And why doesn't Reish Lakish say, well, you bring a carbon after the person dies and it provides ritsui. And it provides some sort of kapara. Now again, I use the word kapara, I'm using it loosely. Because as you pointed out, we're talking about a carbon ola, we're talking about a carbon shlamim. But in other words, why don't we say that it serves some sort of purpose for the owner? So, Amar lehen rav adar b'masna yoledesim hi alda banam yaldu. So the Gemara's answer really simple. Again, we go back to the yoledes, which is the Mishnah in Kinim, which is this week's Sedra. So we go back to the woman who gave birth. So she gave birth. And now, Rachmanus, the woman died, before a carbon ola is brought. And now, as we learned the halachis, you still bring the carbon ola. That's the Mishnah in Kinim. And basically, Rav Adar Bar Masna says, can we all think about this? Meaning, why is she bringing the carbon ola? To provide some sort of, now I'm going to use the word kapara, but I'm using it loosely. But in other words, to benefit her for having given birth. Okay, but she's dead.
Why doesn't she just say
nadava? Huh? We do say nadava. What the Gemara is asking right now is, why not make the argument that it provides ritsui? In other words, you're right, it is a nadava. Well, the Gemara just wants to know, why don't we say ritsui? And the answer is really simple. The answer is, it's not ritsui. It can't be ritsui. In other words, the woman gave birth, her children now are bringing it. Right, obviously her older children. So her children are now bringing it. So, and they gave birth. Meaning, whatever the carbon is trying to accomplish for her, can't accomplish for her children. Her children are not the one who gave birth. So Maskal Ravasi Man Le Malandi I Ika Kama Ase Gabalo Miskapra Vikavendi Hi Ika Kama Ase Gaba Mechapra Yorshim Nami Mechapre. So the Gemara says, well, carbonola, you know the carbonola does have some effect. And Rashi over here writes it, and it's very clear from the Gemara. The truth of the matter is even without Rashi. The Gemara pretty much says it. Let's say a person was Mavata Mitchasese. A person just ignored a positive commandment. Now what? The halacha is that there's no real kapar that you're supposed to bring, meaning there's no onesh. There are a couple of exceptions, but generally, there's no onesh. You don't bring a carbon to be mechaper, and yet we know, Rashi over here quotes from a Torah Kohanim, yet we know that a person can bring an ola, and that provides some sort of kapara for bitul aseh. And Rashi also points out, lav anitak laaseh as well. In other words, before the failure of an aseh, you bring a carbon ola. So now can't we just make one more argument, and that is that this carbon now provides a kapar for the children on their neglect of an aseh? So the Gemara says, the chi'ika kama aseh gaba mechapra, yoshe nami mechapra. So, and then this really brings us to tomorrow's daf, because then the Gemara is going to basically deal with the fundamental question, how do we look at a karban once a person's dead and once it's being brought by the children? Are the children bringing it on their behalf, or are the children really bringing it on their late parents' behalf? And that's really what the fundamental issue is, and this brings us to tomorrow's daf.